as we prepare to open God's Word together. We're going to dismiss any kids that want to head over for Kingdom Kids. We've got Mr. Lawrence and Christy will be helping out with that, so kids can head over. And the rest of us, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. We've been looking mostly at Luke chapter 1 so far, but today we're going to be looking at Matthew 1, 18 through 25. A very familiar account as we read once again about the story of Christ's birth, but my prayer today is just that this story never gets old. I've been thinking about, in our church even, who thinks they've had the most Christmases of anyone?
Renee thinks she's the one. I don't know. Well, we can compare that later. But you think about all the years that we together hear the Christmas story, and yet it never gets old, right? It's just the wonder of Christ coming to this earth, and I pray that this story never gets old. And so let's pray this morning as we prepare to look at God's Word together. Lord God, we pray that you would captivate us again with the story of Christ's birth. Let us just stand in awe and wonder of your coming to this earth, the incarnation, as we just sang about, God incarnate here, dwell among us. God, we rejoice in the words that were read earlier in John 1, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And I pray today, may we behold your glory. May we together be filled with grace and truth that you long to give us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, like I said, Matthew 1, 18 through 25. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Okay, so again, the story of Jesus' birth, it just never gets old. Really, though, any birth story never gets old. How many of you growing up liked to hear your parents talk about the day that you were born? Anyone? Okay, some of it's kind of an intriguing thing for some people. I know that our kids, they like to hear us talk about the day that they were born. And I know for me growing up, I always enjoyed hearing about all the circumstances of that day. And for some reason, I thought it was kind of cool that I was born at 1:23 in the morning. Okay, just like, you know, an ungodly hour. And just always felt that added a little bit of drama, but yeah, as kids, we enjoy hearing about the day that we were born, and I've been thinking about this. We wonder, and just stand in awe of the miracle of birth, and just rejoice at a new life being brought into this world. We wonder at our own birth stories. We think about the stories of our own kids, our grandkids, and yet how much more really should we marvel at the greatest birth story ever told, right? I mean, we have the scriptures that tell us the story of Christ coming to this earth, the birth of Christ, the wonder of the Savior being born, and the incredible power of the Lord that was displayed in Christ's birth. And I just find it interesting looking at verse 18. Okay, I know this is just the narrative, just stating the simple fact, but verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. I mean, it's just a simple fact of, you know, stating how Jesus came into this world, but that should just captivate us, right? To think of the Savior of the world coming and to just stand in wonder and awe of the miracle of his coming. And so, again, I want us to be captivated once again by this story, to marvel at the miracle of Christ's birth, because it's all one grand miracle, truly just the greatest miracle that ever happened, Christ coming to this earth. But what I want to look at today as we go through this section here in Matthew chapter 1, as we think about the miracle as a whole, all the different miracles that happened within that miracle. And that's what I want to focus on, three different miracles within the miracle that we stop to marvel at today. So if you're taking notes, I encourage you to write these things down. But number one, the first miracle is the way that Jesus came. The way he came truly is a miracle. It's incredible. And think about the miracle of life itself, of a child being conceived and a child being formed in the womb and a child being born into the world. It's truly the greatest miracle in human life. And yet, when you think about the coming of Christ and the way that Jesus came, an even greater miracle of this child, Jesus Christ, being conceived by the Holy Spirit. Ponder that miracle as we go through this. And I want you to think for a moment about Joseph. You know, this account here focuses on Joseph, and we think about all the different people that God used and the people that God worked through in Christ coming to this earth and in the circumstances of his birth. But think about Joseph for a moment. Put yourself in his shoes and think about how shocked he would have been to discover that Mary was pregnant. Because they were betrothed, and betrothal in that time, what that time period of time was a time where they committed to be together, but committed to be faithful to one another, to remain sexually pure during this time as they prepared to be married. And imagine the shock that Joseph would have faced as he discovered that Mary was pregnant, as they had committed to remain sexually pure, and then to hear this news. Just thinking of the significance of this happening and someone finding out, you know, this discovery that Mary would be pregnant, what would often happen is the man would divorce the woman, and this woman would often be subject to public shame, sometimes even stoning. And so Joseph, you know, would have been weighing all of this, feeling the shock of it, feeling the weight of all this, and couldn't bear the thought of what it would mean for him, but also couldn't bear the thought of what it would mean for Mary. And so imagine the shock of all this, but then imagine an even greater shock that Joseph would experience when the angel appeared to him in the dream and then brought this news, this shocking news. Don't fear, Joseph, for that which is conceived in Mary is from the Holy Spirit. So that's maybe not as shocking to us, right? Because this is the story that's been told for 2,000 years, right? We just recited in the Apostles' Creed, you know, that Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. It's something that we're so familiar with. But for Joseph, this had never happened. It was absolutely unheard of. And again, think about Joseph for a moment. Verse 20, it says, "But as Joseph considered these things," okay, so we get the sense here that Joseph had already made up his mind, that he was planning to divorce Mary, but as it says, being a just man, he didn't want to put her to public shame. He planned to do it nicely. But then, boom, this game changer, this news, this announcement from the angel of this miracle that would happen, this miracle from God. And the angel saying, Joseph, don't miss out on this miracle. Don't throw this all away. Joseph, you have the chance to be part of helping God's plan happen and coming alongside Mary to that she would give birth to this son. Joseph, don't throw all this away. Don't miss out on being part of God's plan and God's miracle. And here, it's like Joseph's, he's pondering all these things, trying to make sense of it all. But Joseph, don't miss the miracle. Not so fast. Don't divorce Mary. You're going to get to see the miracle of God, the miracle of this virgin birth. Do you stand in wonder and awe of the miracle of Christmas? That, again, we think of any child being brought into this world, and that in and of itself is a miracle. But to think of the miracle of the virgin birth, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and Joseph, you're going to get to experience this miracle, witness it for yourself in bringing the Savior into the world. But the second miracle that we see is not just how Jesus came, but why he came. I want you to think again about the weight of what the angel told Jesus, or told Joseph, sorry. Verse 21, this news, Mary will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Okay, so what would Joseph be thinking at this point? Okay, so he hears this news, you shall call his name Jesus. Okay, so names, especially in biblical times, meant a lot. There was a lot of meaning surrounding the name. We pick names often because we like how they sound. We maybe think a little bit about the meaning, but in the biblical sense, a name was tied really with the identity of that person, and often tied with the destiny of that person. And so when Joseph would hear, you shall call his name Jesus, he would immediately think of the meaning of that name. And many of you know the meaning of the name Jesus, but it means God saves, or the Lord is salvation. And the name Jesus comes from the Old Testament name Joshua, which has this same meaning. And then the angel goes on, not just says the name, but says exactly what this child's destiny is going to be. Just to make it very clear for Joseph, the angel then drops this and says, for he will save his people from their sins. And so not only will there be great meaning in the name of Jesus, but that this child, Jesus, would be born to Mary and Joseph, but would fulfill the meaning of his name, that he would save the world from their sins. And imagine hearing that as a parent. Rejoicing at this news of a life being brought into this world, but then to be told that the destiny of this child is to save his people from their sins, that's all. No big deal. We think about, the greatest thing that can ever be accomplished, or, every superhero is like out to save the world, right? But think about Jesus and what he was destined to do, literally destined to save the world. And the miracle is that you and me, if you're trusting in Jesus Christ, the miracle is that we can stand before God forgiven, that we can stand before him cleansed, that we can stand before him purified. You think about all the miracles that we sing about at Christmas time. We sing all these Christmas carols, and sometimes they become so familiar to us, and we hear the lyrics to these songs and maybe don't really ponder what they're saying. But think about the miracles that we sing about. In Hark the Herald Angels Sing, we sing, peace on earth and mercy mild. What is it? God and sinners reconciled. God and sinners reconciled. that in and of itself, just the miracle that we can become brought back into right relationship with God through peace, through faith in Jesus Christ. God and sinners reconciled together, brought back together in right relationship. I think of a song last year, Tony, I think you sang it at the barn, that song, Noel. And the lyrics to that song stand out in my mind. It says about Jesus, born to suffer, born to save, born to raise us from the grave. Is that how you see Jesus? Is that how you see this child? Born to suffer, born to save, born to raise us from the grave. His destiny as being told to Joseph here. The other one, let's see, what, God rest you, merry gentlemen. You know, singing about the great tidings of comfort and joy. But think of, ponder this line for a second. It says, to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Isn't that beautiful? That's what he came to do. Save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Isaiah 53, what does it say? That we all like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has turned his own way, and yet the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Now there's another one, angels from the realms of glory. Some of you are familiar with that one, but listen to these profound words. It says, sinners wrung with true repentance, doomed for guilt to endless pains, justice now revokes the sentence, mercy calls you, break your chains. Okay, so it's not everyday language that we use, but isn't that beautiful? Isn't that profound? Speaking about the destiny of this child being brought into the world to break our chains, to break the chains of sin. And Jesus came, as his name says, again, that his destiny, as told to Joseph, to save his people from their sins. And shouldn't that just produce in us just an overwhelming sense of gratitude and joy? You know, last week we had a beautiful time of worship with Sembradores Church, and wasn't it a blessing to hear Cornelio's testimony? So he stood up here and just shared about Christ coming into his life and the freedom from sin that he experienced. God took him from the gangs, and he was living in a life of darkness and sin, and now he's just living in new life in Christ, new life of salvation, freedom from that sin, the hope of eternal life. And now Jesus has taken us, each one of us, from death to life. He's taken us from sin to salvation in what he did when he came. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he speaks of this miracle, the miracle of forgiveness, and the miracle of transformation that we can experience. And I love this section here in 1 Timothy 1. I'm going to read it in a second. But I want you to listen to this and hear Paul's voice and just how he explodes with joy and praise over the forgiveness that we can find in Christ. He says, this is the New Living Translation. I like how it's worded here. But he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him, even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ. In my insolence, I persecuted his people. But God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that come from Jesus. But then he goes on, says, this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his patience, even the worst of sinners. And then others will realize it too, and they can believe in him and receive eternal life. And then this is where he just explodes with joy and praise. He says, all honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. Amen. What joy this message brings us and gives us. The name of Jesus, what was his destiny? that he would save his people from their sins. And you know what? Each one of us can say exactly what Paul says here, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. I can say that. You know, I don't have a similar story to Cornelio's. I wasn't in gangs or caught up in drugs. I don't have a story like Paul's where I was blaspheming the name of Christ, but you know what? I'm equally as sinful. I've been proud. I've been self-righteous. I've failed my family at different times. God knows my every impure thought. He knows the deepest depths of my selfish desires. And I too can say, like Paul, the worst of sinners. You know what? You can say that too. You can say that too. No sin, we know, is hidden from the Lord. Nothing is hidden from him. But that's why we marvel at Christ's coming, that he will save his people from their sins. And I think about Jesus, you know, and what he was destined to do as he came to this earth. And just a few days before his crucifixion, he was in agony over the suffering that he was about to face. He was telling his disciples about the death and suffering that he was heading into. And in John 12:27, he's in agony, and he says, "Now my soul is deeply troubled." He says, "Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour?" No, he says, "But for this very reason I came. For this very reason I came, to suffer and die for the sins of the world." Isn't that the Christmas miracle? That Jesus would come to save his people from their sins. And that leads us to number three. There's one more miracle of Christ's birth that I really want to hone in on today. It's something that we're very familiar with, but let's stand in wonder of it again. But it's this, it's that God is with us. God with us. Emmanuel, we just sang about. But verses 22 through 23, it says, and again, this is God's plan all along as God is unfolding this plan, this prophecy that was proclaimed centuries before. It says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." Okay, so look in your own Bible, and you see that part, call his name Emmanuel, but then what does it have right after that? It has a parenthesis, right? And it says, "God with us." Okay, so underline that, because what's in parentheses there is extremely important. So we know this other name for Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And what does that mean for you? What does that mean? God with us. Is that just like something that's a nice thing to hear, that, you know, just brings me some comfort that God is with us? But what's so significant about this? You know, we think about how God has been with his people always, right? We know that God is everywhere present at all times, right? And we know the promise that he gave to Joshua. He said, "Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." As the Israelites left Egypt, the Lord went before them, right? He was with them, went before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace, who was there with them in the fire? God himself. The presence of God was with them. And so this idea of God's presence being with his people, it's not anything new. But in Jesus, what's the miracle that we see? What we marvel at is that he came as a human, that he came to be one of us, to live here just like you and me, to have feelings just like you and I have, to face, again, every temptation that you and I face. He came in human form. You know, God could have saved us in any different way. Right? He could have saved us from a distance, but he chose to come to us, came to enter into our darkness. And not only to enter into that darkness, but to take that darkness and sin upon himself. I recently heard a story of a couple. This was a story that another pastor had told, but a story about a couple who had been missionaries to Africa for many years. And when they were finishing their time in Africa, they adopted a child from the streets, and they longed to just show God's compassion and God's grace to this child, to take this child out of homelessness and hunger and abandonment, and you know, thinking about all the trauma that this young boy had gone through. And as they got home, it was rough. It was a really rough time because of everything that this child had gone through, and it was just a rough mess in their home as they were working through everything with this child and all the adjustments, all the changes. And there was one day when there was a treasured family heirloom pen that had gone missing from the display cabinet that was in the parents' bedroom. And so they went around to the family and asking everyone, you know, who's seen this pen? It's gone missing. And they come to the boy and they say, did you take this pen? And he says, nope. Denied it completely. But then that didn't explain why then later it shows up in his pocket. Discovered. He's found out. And he knew from his time on the streets that this would likely end in a beating. And so he ran up to his room and he just hid. He crawled under his bed, crawled into the darkness, and his new mother went after him. She went up to his bedroom looking for him, and there he is under the bed. You know, she didn't stand there and called him, come out from under the bed. You know what she did is that she crawled under the bed. She crawled into the darkness. And she took his face, held his face right up to hers so that she would understand and so that he would understand once and for all. And she said this, she said, you listen to me. Nothing that you did got you into this family. And nothing you did will get you out of this family. Right there in the darkness. To be sure that he would understand what grace is and what love is. And Christ did the exact same thing for us. You know, what do we want to do in our sin and our failures is we just want to run and hide, don't we? What do we do when we find ourselves in the darkness? We're helpless. We're helpless without him. We're helpless without Christ. But what does he do? What did he do at Christmas? He stepped into our darkness. He stepped into our mess and not only came into it, but he came to deliver us from it. What is his destiny? Shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. And how did he do that? He came into our darkness, stepped into our brokenness, stepped into our mess, and delivered us from it. What does it say in Colossians? That he transferred us, what? From darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's what God did to us, for us, through Christ. So we celebrate at Christmas, and where is your heart today? Is your heart open to Emmanuel, God with us, who comes into every situation of yours? And it's shown in his humanity and what he did when he came here. Are you open to him shining into your darkness? I want to close with lyrics to the song, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Again, these songs that we sing, but what do these words mean? And I want to close with this as a prayer. And so I invite you to bow even now as we think of these words, and let this be your prayer. Lord God, we pray these words, think of these profound words. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, as we sing, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, Lord, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Lord God, may you continue to teach us what that means, the depth of that meaning of Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you, Christ. We thank you, Jesus, for stepping into our darkness, for stepping into our mess. God, we welcome you in. We welcome Christ in to cleanse us, to purify us. And God, we rejoice in it. Rejoice in the salvation and the freedom that we have. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.